Hey guys.
Hello, hello.
We are back and blacker than ever.
Yes. Okay.
I've always wanted to say that.
Blacker than ever today. All right. How are we how are you blacker than ever?
I surrounded myself with a lot of black women this week.
Oh, jealous.
That make me feel good. So I feel blacker. I don't feel blacker than ever, but it was just good. I also I'm still like in my post-running high, so like my spirits are up. I'm in a good mood right now as we record this.
Awesome sauce.
What about you?
I'm doing good. I'm feeling great. I had a good week. I went to church this morning, got some spiritual feeding. Jordan, it's kind of funny. Jordan has a job prospect that's like a faith-based NGO. So he's been going to church the past 2 weekends, and so I joined him today. But yeah, it was good. This is the first Episcopal sermon that I went to where the pastor or whatever they call him, did not refer to a movie in their sermon.
What?
Like, all the other ones I've been doing, like, they've been talking about The Hobbit and Thor and all this, and, like, the B-movie and, like, all this stuff. And you're like, and I'm like, what?
What churches have I'm you only, gone to?
It's the only Episcopal church. Like, so Jordan, when he goes to church, he goes to Episcopalian churches. So when I go with him, those are the only times I've ever been to Episcopalian church. And I've only been going on, like, High Holy Days. And so I guess they reference movies to be more relatable. And that's just how they got down in Philadelphia and in Ohio. But this guy was just, like, straight Bible and, like, teaching you stuff from the Bible. And I was like, this is all right. And it was, like, actually a timely sermon. But then that really tripped me up, though, is, like, they do their prayer. And like, this is my first time going to Episcopalian church without Obama being in the presidency. So they were like, and bless Donald and all the people. And I was like, Donald?
Who's Donald?
I was like, oh, you're talking about 45 right now. Shit. I guess we have to pray that he'll stop fucking up. I mean, I guess that's a good prayer to do, but it just kind of threw me off.
If there's any place to do it, I suppose that's the place to do it.
This week has been crazy.
Yeah.
Like, the world just kind of, like, is going through it. Like, it's been going through it all 2017, but this week has been extra cray with everything. But
I've laughed.
Yay, the healthcare stopped.
What?
I was like, thank goodness, you know, we still have the American Affordable Care Act. There we go.
Ooh.
The American Affordable Care Act.
You know, small victories.
I went in to work on Thursday and I was like, they're going to mess this up today. The Republicans are going to show us how much they care about money over people. And then those 33 fools came through and I'm proud of them.
I think it's because, were you following on Twitter how their, like, emails and their phone lines were blowing up and they were keeping, some of them were keeping tallies of, like, how many people were for it and how many people were like, you better not mess with this.
I mean, it's amazing how the people did it. They went to work. they were like, no, we're not going to be silent. Even people that didn't vote probably called, you know, people that, you know, voted for Trump showed their support for the Affordable Care Act because they realized, shit, I like having insurance and I like people not dying.
Or like, you know, when they finally opened a book or like read something for maybe the fourth time in their whole lives and realized that Obamacare and the Affordable Care Act are the same exact thing, they were like, oh, wait, I'm on this. I've always been on this since its creation. I would like to keep it. Maybe I'll one time not be an idiot. Today's that day.
So yay, so it's over. Like we like it's the law of the land. Like
clap 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 clap.
The robot Ryan even said that, you know, the Affordable Care Act will be the law of the land for a while, and then dumbass Trump was even trying to play like the ultimate bully and was like, I'm going to make sure you don't win next year in 2018 if you don't vote for this. And I was like, his like freaking approval rating's at like 35. 35%. Like, it's dumb. Like, you're not going to help anyone win shit next year. But anyways.
When does he get impeached?
Well, Maxine Waters was like, next stop, impeachment this week. Like, she tweeted that.
And I was saw like, that. Yay.
I can't wait for those fun hearings to start. Because those Comey hearings this week, Comey the FBI director, that shit was juicy. And I just can't wait. This is going to be the trial of the century. When the impeachment stuff happens, it's going to overshadow all the shit that we were all caring about OJ together. That's going to be nothing. I can't wait for the American Horror Story about this bullshit. It's going to be lit.
Oh, God.
We're going to be, you know, 50 years old telling the young babes about that terrible time.
This one time.
Hopefully you'll still have electricity. The world will not be over.
I hope not.
All right, let's do the John.
Let's do it. We got a lot to talk about.
This shit was crazy this week.
It was. In fact, it was.
But let's start off with something sweet and nice. And just gorgeous. So Samira Wiley is married, and the photos came out with her wedding with Lauren Morelli, and bitch, they look so good. Like, just looking at Samira, I'm like, can my twist out ever look like that? This twist out is heaven. And then yes, collarbone as a necklace, just looking fierce. And then that bodice making those small titties look so good. Like, damn. And then Lauren looking like the baddest bitch in this white jumpsuit with a cape. With a cape. Just looking like, makes me want to get married again so I can wear a jumpsuit. I didn't know that was an option. I want to wear one. Damn. Oh, I wish I could have gone. I mean, because, you know, I was invited, right?
Oh, I didn't know that. Thanks.
I was totally invited.
Could I have been your plus one?
Oh, I would have totally taken you. I would have lost my damn mind hugging Laverne Cox and Danielle Brooks.
My heart.
But yeah, if you don't know, Samira Wiley played Pusey on Orange is the New Black, and she married Lauren Morelli, who is one of the writers of the show. So, workplace relationship turning into, you know, goals for all of us.
All right, so Samira Wiley, goals that are unachievable, and we can just look at it and keep dreaming. So, my John is about Jay-Z and the news that he is making a movie and a docuseries based on Trayvon Martin's life and death. I'm not going to give you an introduction to Trayvon Martin if you don't know about him or have somehow forgotten. I don't know what to tell you.
How are you even listening to this if you don't know who Trayvon Martin is?
I don't. The world is a strange place. I continue to learn that every day. I went to an event this week that someone asked a question that people had literally told them to stop asking brown women. So it was like, you know, anything can happen. But he's working in. He's working with a mini major studio. There was a huge bidding war for the rights to adapt two works for the screen, according to the news outlets. There is 2014 Suspicion Nation, the inside story of the Trayvon Martin injustice and why we continue to repeat it. And in January, there was Rest in Power, A Parent's Story, Love, Injustice, and the Birth of a Movement. And I'm really excited to see what is going to come out of this, especially with someone with so much money, to back, hopefully, a really true to reality. I'm, like, at a loss for words right now because I'm, like, thinking about the possibilities of, like, black and brown actors that can come up and people on set and behind the scenes and directors and people that are working on it that hopefully can, you know, get something out of this. And I hope that everyone working on this with Jay-Z, I hope it's all black people. I just want it to be that sort of ecosystem where everyone's working to lift up this story while also lifting up each other and making money together and just celebrating greatness within the creation of this movie and docuseries while also mourning and celebrating the life of Trayvon Martin. So I'm really excited to see what happens from this project. Specifically with so much money backing it, I think that makes a difference, a huge difference. So I'm really excited about that.
Yeah, I think that's going to be, it's going to be well done. Depending on who the staff is, I'm excited to see who Jay-Z works with. It's been a while, I feel, since Jay-Z has made something this major. So I'm like, who do you collab with?
Exactly.
Because, like, you collab with people, but I don't know who you're gonna bring in on this. And I'm a little nervous because he sometimes messes up. So, but we'll see.
Well, I'm going to hope for the best. I'm going to hope that there's a lot of work with his parents.
They're definitely this. They can't. You can't do this story without the parents being involved.
Dude, we say that, and then we see things like Lifetime movies coming out where you didn't even get the rights to someone's life, and you're trying to make a movie about it. So they didn't even get... I heard they didn't even get the rights to any of Britney Spears' song for her documentary movie that they made.
They just stole?
No, they just, like, came up with fake songs. They, like, didn't use her songs.
Then that's not a Britney Spears movie.
No. How can you have a Britney Spears movie and not literally start with, like, Baby One More Time? Yeah.
Oh, baby. Like, that's how it begins.
So, fingers crossed. We'll keep track of what movement happens with these pieces and keep y'all in the loop. I'm sure you'll keep us in the loop if we miss anything.
All right. I just wanted to bring up this painting that has been, following me on Facebook. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because it's a lot of white people talking about this piece of work. So right now, it's the Whitney Biennial is having some paintings up, and one is called Open Casket, which is depicting Emmett Till's body by Dana Schultz, who is a white female artist. And it's been stirring up a lot of controversy. One, because this white woman has made this painting trying to display the pain of Emmett Till's mother, trying to use this part of American history to show something. But what she ends up having is just another black body being on display for the white gaze. And so people have been upset about it. There's been many protests at the gallery, black people putting their bodies in front of the painting so others cannot witness it. I've just been seeing a lot of different folks talking about it. A lot of white people that have been upset that black people were upset. And it's not like it's the first time that a white artist has chosen to use black bodies to show the atrocities of our racial experience in America. There's another painting that depicts Mike Brown's body that also had a similar uproar about it. It's not a new thing, but we're gonna share this article. But Harry Zaid actually put some of my feelings about it into words. Because I was like, why do I have an issue with this? Because like at first I was like, you know, artists, it's their, like, I kind of got what she was going for. Like, I got what response she ended up having and how that has an effect on this history and bringing some awareness to the bodies that have been slain. But why do white people need to continue to depict them, and why can't they look at themselves? And that was the big question that Harry Zaid brought up in this Afropunk piece. It's like, okay, black men, black women are dying because of racial anxiety in America for hundreds of years. White artists choose to depict their dead bodies without putting a mirror on white America and what white America is doing. You're focusing in on the end result, on the byproduct of the violence, and not looking at what causes it, what can be done to stop it, but just putting it on display for voyeurism. How has this become different from the pictures that white supremacists, the postcards they would make after they would lynch someone? How are you not just repeating that, but saying that you're a good artist, that just by saying that it's art, you're allowed to use and fetishize black death to your notoriety? There's very little difference. Because again, if you think about the institutions that allow for this art to be shown, that are supporting this art, is that money going to black people? How are you, what you're doing is just creating profit off of black bodies, which is the same as, I mean, with roots all the way still back to slavery. And no one saw that connection. And I did not want to be the, hey, white people having this conversation on Facebook, let me be your black friend and teach you how you're so freaking wrong about this. They were just so wrong. Like, your freedom of speech, you still have to recognize that there's going to be an outcry. And that could be your goal. And that could be an artistic goal. But why are you making that your artistic goal? And is it lazy? Could you have done something more deeper? Could you have done more? And it's just, I'm just tired of it. So like every year we're going to, so, you know, whatever black woman or man that passes, are we going to have a new piece of art next year that we get to see, that you get to make money off of?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. It's just like, and so now we're talking about this, and we can't even talk about the art that Black people have been making in response to all of these atrocities. Yeah, that painting and the and I'm just, I guess, I'm tired of good-meaning white folk not really thinking critically about the art that other white people make.
I mean, I don't expect them to think critically, so I guess we can start there. My expectations are low, so low.
Yeah. It was like, even some people that I thought were like a little, like, you know, on the woker side didn't have, just fell short. You just fell short. So I just like, you need to go read some shit, guys. I don't have a list for you, but someone will soon. Okay.
All right. Should we move on?
Yeah, let's move on.
So, as you should all know, there's a large number of Black and Latina or Latinx, however they choose to identify, young teens missing, specifically from the DC area. There apparently was a viral post going around saying that 14 Black girls were missing in the span of like less than 24 hours. Apparently that post is not true. It was less than 14, but here. I'm literally just going to say it because I have it on my Facebook. And if you're Facebook friends with me, you can see it at any point in time. And, you know, you listening to this, you know how I am as a person. I don't really care. So I posted about what I was told were the 14 girls missing. And then I added to the fact that, you know, just in general, the number doesn't matter. There are Black and brown girls missing. And
or the length of time, because people were so stuck on the idea, like, the first tweet said that it was in 24 hours that they went missing. I don't care if it happened in 365 days.
Exactly.
14 women, young girls, being missing is terrifying. It's nothing short of terrifying. I don't care if it was 24 hours, a year, 3 months. That's just too many. Sorry, keep going.
So I posted about that, and a lot of people were like, yeah, I agree, like, what the hell is going on? Or, yeah, I've been reading about it, or there are people talking about it, which to that I say, yeah, there are people talking about it, but my concern was the mainstream media not talking about it. Black and brown people are always talking about their people. We're the only ones that will talk about us, so of course we're talking about it. So then someone decided to post on my post about the fact that it was hardly 14 in that short span of time. And they're afraid like that viral posts like this are going to taint media or how news gets disseminated or whatever the hell they wanted to say. And to that, I said, ooh. To that, I wanted to say, go jump out a window. But I kept my cool, and I was like, here's what concerns me, is the fact that major media isn't covering this. The fact that 10 or 14 or 2 or 3 or 5 Black and brown girls are missing, and you feel the need to come up on my post and trivialize it by saying, well, it wasn't 14. Like, oh, so 10 is any better? So 12 is any better? Oh, it wasn't in that short amount of time. oh, so because 14 went missing, as Brittany said, in a year instead of 10 hours, it's like, oh, that's like the usual is what your response sounds to me. Like, oh, yeah, no, that's like the, since it wasn't 10 hours, it's like totally fine and totally cool and like, whatever. So, don't ever in your life think that it's okay to do something like that, to say something like that. You're wrong. You're ignorant. I was kind enough to give you a response to show you how you're wrong. I'm assuming you'll never get it. So, don't comment on my shit. Because you will be wrong. And as I've said many times, it's you should never be two things, loud and wrong, and you were both. Mm.
I am just offended by, I'm going to say NBC Philadelphia. Because that was one of the articles that I read that took so much time to take down the viral posts and show the untruths of the post without truly talking about, doesn't matter, like that, you know, black teens going missing is a problem in the United States. That why do so many teens end up missing without looking at the root issue? But the hypocrisy of breaking down this. So, hey, white guys on the main line, don't be worried about black people. Let us show you how this is a lie. When there have been so many lies going around. You know, our president spews out a lie every other day. And I've never seen a news, like a regular television news station, break down the false parts of the narrative so well. Why couldn't you do this back in October when the election was happening to break up some of the lies that were pushed out against the facts? Why can't we do that every goddamn day when these people come out and they say lies? Can we just sit down and break them down? But when it was black people and their concern about their daughters, oh, well, now we gotta let y'all know that there's nothing for y'all to be afraid of. The police are doing their goddamn jobs. And you know what? There was a good part of that story is that the police are using different tactics like social media to spread awareness about missing people, especially missing people of color. That's great. And I really want, I like, because of this, the slant on this story, it now makes black people look like we are crying wolf. And so how now it's put onto us, our responsibility, it's all on us to now make sure that white people and the media and the police and everyone that is in white America believes our pain. And now the onus of us is always to come with this burden of proof. And like, how can we combat that now? Because we have to come at it. So when more girls end up missing, it doesn't get pushed away as, oh, that's just fake news. Because now this story's out here. And now when a white person hears this, especially that ignorant bitch, they're going to assume that it's not true and that it doesn't really matter.
Exactly. Okay. I think it's smart for us to move on. We'll post more information about this and ways. I've been trying to find ways to, like, I don't know, even give $5 to a team of people looking for these kids. Just something, anything. Mm-hmm. So we'll try, when we find it, we'll share it, but I think it's important that we move on.
Yeah, let's move on. Oh, the ding dong, the witch is dead.
So, Tommy Pickles.
Tammy Lozenge.
Tilly Lasagna. Got canned. She got canned.
Yep, not just suspended, but officially she no longer has a show on the Blaze. Yay! I mean, I don't think this is the last time we're going to be hearing from this chick. I mean, especially if people like Trevor Noah want a cape for her all the time. Captain Save a Ho right there. The devil does not need your assistance, boo. But she'll be back because she got kicked for being a feminist almost. So the thing that she, you know, rails on, but she's really trying to cozy up with white ladies. That's all I see in her future. They're lapping it up.
I read this really funny tweet series, and it was like that a circle moment when white women get too comfortable in white supremacy until white men remind them that they're women.
Oh, man.
Which, it's like, true. Ain't that the truth? Yeah.
Yeah, I am not. Where is she going to appear? I feel like she's going to be, like, in a show or on a round table.
The View?
She could be on The View next. Like, that's easy pickings, right? No, but I feel like, what's her nuts? The Lena Dunham is going to do something with her. Like, Amy Schumer is going to come out and do something stupid with her. Like, because she's on the right, but she understands women's rights. Like,
kill me.
It's going to be terrible. But that's what I see in the future. I feel like she might be playing us. She said all that stuff to get out of her contract with the Blaze, and she's got something else under her sleeve.
Yeah, I would not be surprised by that.
I actually initially thought that her and Glenn Beck were in cahoots, that he did this, like, you know, this smackdown on her to, like, build up his conservative audience, but then also give her some more left white women to watch her.
Hmm.
But yeah, because she got fired, I was like, oh, shit. Oh, well, maybe they're not in cahoots on that, but she was doing it to get fired.
I never thought about that.
Well, you know, I'm conniving, so I try to see where the conniving, where other people are conniving at. So.
Oh, well, I don't pay not one iota of attention to her, so really, I would not have known if I hadn't seen someone's Twitter post.
I mean, Twitter is lit right now about it. Everyone is just like, yay! Black Twitter has gone mad.
Well, they need to chill out because we all know she's just going to come back more powerful. Because as we continue to learn with white people, the more awful you are, somehow the stronger you get. It's like the, what is it, the snake animal from Hercules, where you, like, chop off one head and it just grows two heads until you're chopping off heads and they just keep, like, growing and growing and growing and growing until you, like, get swallowed by it and then you kill it from the inside out.
I mean, racist white people are like cockroaches. You will never get them out of America.
So I would hold your excitement, y'all. Well, not hold your excitement, like, celebrate, but, like, keep your eyes open. Don't close your eyes. Don't close your eyes. She will reemerge. Yes, she will. All right. That's it for Tommy Pickles this week.
That's it for the John. All right. All right, guys, so this week we will not have a You Better Work or a Check It, but we do want to take some time to shout out all the Black lovely fans and fellow podcasters that we've reached out, and they've reached out to us, and we've been touching each other of Black Podcast Week. I want to start off and just, I want to shout out the dudes that listen to Black Girls Laughing. Because you guys be really holding us down on Twitter. You're always retweeting. You're always shouting us out, telling people that how much you enjoy our show. And you wouldn't expect that with a show called Black Girls Laughing. So thank you. And, you know, that's just, that was like one of the cooler things for me. It was just like getting to see all the different fans and recognizing that it's, I love my Black ladies, duh. But it's cool that everyone loves us. So shout out to the fellas.
Yeah, my shout out goes to obviously all of you. But we've been talking about like rebranding and like how we see Black Girls Laughing going, and how just really thinking about how we, I guess, portray ourselves to other people. When I listen to us, like, it feels like I'm just listening to any other conversation that we would normally have together, which has been an important part of doing this podcast for us, is that we feel that when we talk to each other, we're full of wonderful one-liners and just have great conversation that other people would want to be a part of, which is why we started Black Girls Laughing. And for you guys to come back and be like, I feel like I'm hanging out or listening to two of my friends when I listen to the podcast is really, really important to us. Even as we grow and we get bigger, maybe we'll reach like, I see us reaching like huge goals. That is going to be a stitch in Black Girls Laughing that we want to keep and maintain. Like, even if we're interviewing other people, we hope that the people that we interview, it's just another friend in the conversation. It's never formal in the sense that you don't feel like, you know, this is a question you would ask your friend. And I think that'll really help us shape how we're reaching out to people for interviews, or how we're reaching out to people to collaborate, of like, yeah, we want you to also be able to promote the work that you do. But I mean, there's a bunch of podcasts out there now that interview a lot of people and they give you a lot of advice, and that's really great and that's really awesome. Obviously, we love advice. That's why we have You Better Work and Check It. But we never want the advice to sound like, here's this person we're interviewing, they're going to talk
and buy their book.
Yeah. And they're talking for 15 minutes, and here's how they monetize their advice, or here's their podcast too. We want it to sound like another Black girl or brown girl laughing with us. So they're just another friend that you're adding to your circle and laughing with. So thank you for saying that. It makes us feel really great when you're like, you two are my friends. I'm just listening to my friends. We are your friends. We want to be your friends. That's why we're here. And it's really exciting to see a lot more people saying that.
Yeah, I mean, thank you for the recent iTunes reviews.
Yeah!
Like, I got a little teary-eyed from reading some of them. And again, with that sentiment of like, you feel like we're your friends. You're definitely our friends. And being able to read these comments keeps me wanting to do the show. Because, you know, at the end of the day, we're not spending any money on this. Oh, no, we're spending money on this. We're not making any money on this. Let's be for real. And knowing that you guys listen and appreciate everything that we do, and being able to hear it. Like, I know that the people are listening. I can see that. There's, you know, stats on SoundCloud and PodTracker and all the things. I know people are listening. But to see your words is number freaking one. So, shout out to JReal83, Ichi gonna pants you. Coffee Rar. Stacy Stiletto. PR Demby. Tiana Matt. These are from people that from the past. But like, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for taking that time and actually putting a sentence or few or paragraph together to talk about us. It warms our heart.
Yes. Thank you. It was great. I love Black Podcast Week. It's still going as we record this, wrapping it up today, but it's really great to learn more about other podcasts that I should be listening to and reconnect with podcasts that I look up to, like Heart and Hustle. They interacted a lot with us this week, which was freaking awesome because, man, I love those two girls so much. Especially like in the space that I am with freelancing, I actually wake up and have a cup of coffee and listen to them now while I'm doing my work. That's like how I start my day. And I've been saying I want to do that, but I like, you guys know me with like television and podcasts. I like come on and then I fall off, but like it's been Job Logs and Heart and Hustle every morning for like the past 3 weeks. So shout out to those two podcasts. You guys keep me inspired. Freelancing is exhausting, but I think that I finally jumped on a path that is going to put me in the right direction for what I've been wanting to do. And I'm really excited to tell you guys more about it as it keeps growing. And as I, get to travel around the country more and maybe we can connect. So thank you to those two, and shout out to everyone. Ugh, I just love it. I just love the Black gloriousness that is Black Podcast Week.
Yeah, I know. I have downloaded and subscribed to a bunch of different podcasts that I can't wait to listen to. And when I listen to a podcast, I love to shout it out immediately when I'm listening to it on Black Girls Laughing and on my social media. So you'll see me talking about these new podcasts and you'll be hearing about me loving on y'all, because I just love other Black podcasters just doing the damn thing and having a great time. I listened to this one out of Toronto this past week called The Canceled, and they remind me so much of us. So it was really great to listen to two girls having a good time and, you know, talking a lot of shit, as we do. So, yeah, shout out to y'all.
Canceled. Deleted. I don't know her.
Okay. So, it's time for, unless you have something you wanted to say.
No, you talked about these podcasts, and I just remembered that I just upgraded my phone, so now I have more room for all these podcasts. Perfect.
Like, yeah, have your life, girl. Enjoy all of these podcasts. And, like, y'all, Black people, y'all have been doing some good work in your podcast. Like, everyone's sound has been great. Like, people have had great content. Like, well-edited. Like, you're really putting in the work. And it's not easy to do it. And then that's, like, a misconception of people about podcasting is that, oh, we just sit and talk at a microphone for a couple of hours and that's a show. No, there's research that comes in before we go live. There's, you know, editing that has to happen on the back end, show notes, promotion, like, and Black Podcast Week has really shown a light on all that hard work. So keep on doing it and you'll keep on getting new listeners. You definitely picked up at least one this week. So it's time for another Anxiety Corner.
Woohoo, I'm so excited.
I mean, I have better feelings about Anxiety Corner because someone said that it was their favorite. And I was like, okay, well, if at least one person loves what we're doing with this, I'll keep on doing it. I will bear through going through this anxious hour.
2 minutes.
It's 2 minutes, but it feels like a freaking hour. I hate it. But I love it, too, because it gets all the heebie-jeebies out.
Exactly. Are you ready, Brittany? You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Starting in 3, 2, 1, go.
So, we've been worried about Russia, but we've been missing the death that's been going on. The war on terror is back, and Donald Trump, instead of caring about democracy and all the other BS that, you know, American presidents have said have been the reason for going to war, they're going after, like, there's less drone strikes and less things happening right now than when Obama was around. Like, he was the killer in chief back then too, but Trump has just sort of like amped it up to like a crazy amount and does not care if innocent civilians die. So this past week, in an airstrike in Mosul, 200 Iraqi civilians were perished. In Yemen, we had 30 Yemenis were killed by a Navy SEAL like massacre that killed an 8-year-old American girl. So Trump is not an interventionist. And so that's people that go to war because they're trying to change for humanitarian reasons, for changing bad regimes. No, they're there for U.S. interests only. So we want your freaking oil, or we want all the brown people dead, because apparently that's what this war on terror is. We're out to get terrorists, not stop systems of oppression in other countries. But if we believe terrorists are in your country, we're going to freely go bomb it, kill your women and children, kill regular citizens, because we own the world. And this has just been going on, and that is exactly what Trump has said he was going to do, and now he's really doing it. But since he's so corrupt, we have no idea how many people are being slaughtered in the name of the United States while over the past 2 months.
I don't know why my thing didn't go off, but...
All right, 3, 2, 1, go.
So this week, 28-year-old James Harris Jackson went from Maryland to New York City with the intention of murdering black people. He surrendered Tuesday because he was in connection with the fatal stabbing of a man in Midtown Manhattan. He traveled with the intent to kill people just like the man he murdered. He had a knife in a coat. His words were, "You need to arrest me. I've got the knife in my coat." There were 2 knives found in his possession and the murder weapon, which is believed to be a 26-inch mini sword. This thing looks crazily medieval. Detectives believe that Jackson has a hatred of black people, specifically black men. Shocker, right? I know. I can't believe it. I'm so surprised and amazed. He had been harboring these feelings for quite some time. Statements he had made, which I'm not going to be specific, it's well over a decade, he is harboring these feelings of hatred towards male blacks. So he hates black people, no surprise. And he acted upon it, no surprise. And then the media portrayed him as a nicely dressed white guy that only killed 1 black person. No surprise. This is a terrorist. This man is a terrorist. He literally crossed state lines to kill a specific group of people. He is a terrorist. Just because he's not brown does not mean what he did is not an act of terror. I hate all of you white people who are saying it's not.
Time's up.
Everyone's stupid.
Yeah.
Ugh. Okay. Time's up.
Yay! Well, that was another anxiety corner! Oh my God, I'm so happy that bullshit's over. I'm sorry. It just, like, it's so.
Yeah.
But I just want to give a shout out to The Intercept, which where I found this article that really breaks down what Trump's policy is in terms of international relations and the quote unquote war on terror. It's ran by it's a publication that's ran by journalists, and I'm excited about journalists that are really about doing journalism, not being a talking head. And I'm really looking at sources that are doing that, not just being pundits. So that's why my diet is low on the cable news now.
yeah.
So. Whew. So throwback jam.
Your turn.
It's my turn. Yay. So, I was driving back from church today, because I go to church, and, well, for this week, and this song came on, and I remember loving this song, and I came back home, and I watched the video on YouTube. So anyways, the song is Love to Love Ya, Timbaland Magoo. Love to love ya. Ooh, that one. Whatever happened to Magoo? was a question. But then also, I forgot about Shanta. That's like the chick that's in it. That's like doing that part that every woman has in a Timbaland song of like, I'm the chick to Timbaland being a pimp. she's there, like, you know, I'm being fresh with you, and he's like, I'm gonna, you know, get up in that ass and all that shit. Ew. You know, but anyways, that song is hot. The beat is fire. It was just like, I was looking at the YouTube comments and everyone was just like, oh yo, RIP 90s hip-hop. I used to think that Magoo was whack, but he sounds way better than everyone that's rapping now. So like, but dude, Magoo looks just like Hannibal Buress. Like, he is, if Hannibal Buress was a rapper, he would be Magoo. Like, he's got that same corny fool look with those glasses and, like, the turtlenecks that he was wearing. Like, you know that Hannibal Buress was looking like that back then and, like, had a light-skinned friend and he was Timbaland and he was Magoo and it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Don't they look alike? Like, it was really messing with me. I was like, is Magoo really Hannibal Buress? Did he just change his name?
I feel like Magoo didn't pop off because that's a shitty name. I'm just gonna keep it real. That's an awful.
Timbaland and Magoo are both two corny looking brothers. If you look at them, you're like, you guys are whack. No one wants to sleep with either of you, but you're talking about how you can swing that dick, and I am not buying it.
Where?
That's why, I mean, Timbaland isn't even like in the center of his videos. Like when he did like Promiscuous Girl and was like hanging out with Justin Timberlake, he was sort of like hiding a little bit more. Like it was more like, I'm the sexy voice behind it all. And I look at this old video, I was like, oh, that's why you made that pivot. Cause one, you are not cute. You are not cute, Timbaland. But you can make a hot beat and I will give you that.
You've got a face for radio.
So that's the throwback jam. Love to love ya. And then it just got me in like this whole like spiral. I watched a lot of videos of just like that whole crew. What's that one? Up jumps the boogie jumps the bee.
Yes. And I was
like, oh yeah, Genuine was in the crew too, because like he's in the video. And it's just like, I was like, oh, I liked all the same people. They all were in the same universe.
Everyone was friends.
All wearing white jumpsuits.
Ew, okay. So time to move on.
Ooh.
So it's our signature segment, signature segment, signature
Giggle, cackle, roar.
I hope you guys like my awful harmonies. So I have a roar this week.
Do it.
So my roar is for this amazing article that I just now found. And I'm really, really sad that I just now found it because it's so good and it's so important and it's hysterical. The title made me laugh and made me save it and click it. And I'm just going to give you like the snippets, but again, we'll share it. It's really important. And I'm also going to preface this with, if you guys have been listening for a while, you know that Brittany and I have exclusively until now worked in nonprofits, and we've talked and griped about the life of working in nonprofits and how it's a thankless and full of whiteness and et cetera, et cetera. But this amazing article that I found is by Corbett Mosley, who's a nonprofit management and public policy consultant, and he titled it 10 Ways to Practice Institutional Racism at Your Nonprofit Organization. And I was like, I'm already sold. This is the best article I've ever read already. So I'll read you the 10 ways, and then he elaborates more on each item. But again, we'll share it so you can read the nitty gritty. Number one is maintain white leadership. Sorry, I have to laugh because it's just so funny. Two, frame the issues and lead the strategies for people of color. Again, whoo, when you've experienced something and then you see someone else write about it, it's just so funny. Three, limit partnerships with and feedback from communities of color. Again, whoo. Four, ignore complaints of bias and racism from workers and clients. Five, value credentials versus the skills needed to serve diverse populations. Six, do not involve people directly impacted. Seven, whitewash the diversity language.
Oh, shit. I've been there.
Eight, maintain the social dynamic of white nonprofit affinity groups. Nine, exploit black clients in poverty. I feel like to this one, I would like to add exploit black
employees. And keep them in poverty?
Yeah, I hope that he wrote, I'm going to try and see if he wrote like another piece to this or like a piece that talks about that, because he's also a person of color. So I feel like he would want to talk about that. And then 10 is offer cultural competency training every few years. This post is like everything I've ever dreamt of. And I've been like dilly-dallying on the idea of sharing it in these spaces that I exist on social media and nonprofits and being like, oh, I'm not going to share it. But I think I actually just decided reading it again that I'm going to share it today. Like right after we record, I will be copying this link and sharing it in the groups that I am a part of. Because it's really important. And I think more and more people need to read it. And I really love it. And yeah. There's this one group that I'm a part of that has a lot of people, so I imagine there'll be a lot of comments, but I really don't give a shit, so that's where I'm at. This article's amazing. I can't wait for you all to read it, especially to our listeners that also work in nonprofits. You know how that goes.
Yeah.
That is my awesome roar. Shout out to Corbett. This piece is...
I'm sharing it with my director of communications. Because we've been talking about this. And that just encapsulates everything that is wrong at so many nonprofits. But It's exciting. I like that. Thank you for sharing that.
Yep.
So this week I have a giggle because it, when I found out that this thing was 10 years old, I was like, yep, that makes sense. I was in college, sitting at the arts house, singing this with my theater friends, so the art people would give us some of their weed. So, so what I'm talking about is that it's been 10 years of the Potter Puppet Pals and the mysterious ticking noise. To, you know, give you a little, like, reminder of what that actually is, it starts with a little tick-tock, Snape, Snape. Severus Snape, 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 Severus Snape. Snape. I was like, please do it. Severus Snape. Harry Potter, Harry Potter. Ron, Ron, Ron Weasley.
Ron Weasley.
Oh, so
Hermione. Hermione.
Oh my gosh.
Hermione.
I just, like, literally, I'm... This is, like, a big shout-out to my friend Lindsay and Hunter and Janice and all these nerds that I would hang out with in college. And we would drink and sing this song and be so dumb. It's, like, the first part of Harry Potter fandom that I've ever been a part of because I've never read the books. I've barely seen the movies. But I love these little puppets. And that little, and that, the mysterious ticking noise was such a big deal. And it's been 10 years. And they, like, did, like, they did a 10-year anniversary, like, remastered video of it. So it's nice. Cause, like, it looks so old. If you look at the old, at the original, it looks like it's, like, from the 80s. Because, like, this was before high def was, like, super in. So it looks, like, really bad. And it was just, it was cool to just, like, remember. BuzzFeed did, like, a little article about it. And they were, like, apparently when Alan Rickman was at the world premiere of The Deathly Hallows Part 2, the whole crowd started singing, Snape, Snape, Severus Snape. And it was just like, oh, I wish I could be famous so someone could sing a part of this at me. I want a song. Let's make a song about us, B. And then, like, make it really popular. And then when we're, like, walking around, people sing it at us. Yeah, something with puppets.
As puppets?
I love puppets. Oh, they're the best.
I don't, but...
to make something, like, become alive is really cool. I did a little, very little puppetry. And, like, it's really cool to, like... take, like, a plastic bag and turn it into a person.
I think it's amazing to watch. Okay. I don't like doing it. Like, that was the one part of theater where I was like, this is not my forte. And that's okay.
It's like that and clown were the things that were, like, super hard for me, and that's what I liked the most because it was so hard. But when I was able to do it, I... felt like I had ran a marathon, found the love of my life, like, invented world peace all in one moment. So, love them.
I'm not doing clown anything, so you can miss me with that forever.
Well, anyways,
never,
just
ever,
of her negative
ever,
words,
ever.
Clown is awesome. Like, no, I'm not talking about,
I don't
like
clown.
White face clown. Ew, gross. I'm just like, just... understanding what it means to be a clown, like being like, I used to love being like the very like pompous type of clown that like thinks that they know their shit, because that's a part of who I am as a person. Like, I have a huge ego, so yeah. And so, like,
you're pompous.
To really play with the ego that I naturally have and like play with that like ugly side of myself and use it for laughs is awesome. And I had to cry first to even figure out how to do it. So, like, clown is like, was one of the big achievements of my like art life. It was like breaking the, it's like, you know, you think you're funny and then you go into a clown class and they will shred you to death. I have never been read more in my life than being in a clown class. Anyways. But yeah, that's 10 years of the Puppet Pals. Let's go. Like, go watch it. Sing it with your friends. Make your own. Yeah, it was cute. I loved it. And it was nice. So I wanted to... This week was such shit. It's so nice to have something nice to think about.
How old?
Whatever. I don't care. Like, whatever. It was 10 years ago. We're not old. Who is old? I ain't 70. That's old.
It's just like I just can't believe that. Yeah. It just blows my mind. Ron Weasley. Ron Weasley.
Another episode.
So we did it. Another episode. So you can find us on the internet. On Twitter, mostly. And Instagram, at BLK Girls Laughing with no G. On Facebook, facebook.com/blackgirlslaughing. On our website, blackgirlslaughing.com. And you can email us at blackgirlslaughing@gmail.com. If you have been listening and you haven't left us a review on iTunes, please take 2 seconds to do that. I would really like to see our reviews continue to jump up. If you've interacted with us, if this is your first time listening and you love it, if this is your second time listening, we're glad to have you back. If you're a family member, I'm just going to call you family if you listen to us all the time and you haven't left us a review, help your fam out. Fam, come on. Even just
all you
the stars.
New listeners, subscribe. You know you had a good time. You know you laughed today. So just hit that little button so you don't miss the next episode. Because guess what? We'll be right back next week because we're consistent AF all the time. That is us, Black Girls Laughing, here for 2017. Yo. I don't know what the hell that last thing was, but whatever.
Me neither. Doing it.
We love you.
All right, guys. See ya. Yay. We'll be right back.